This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest,
Mrs. Mai Perkins, St. Martin's Episcopal Church, Compton, California. Tonight's subject, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums?
You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Continuing our Night Call investigation of the Los Angeles riots, we have as our guest tonight, standing by in Los Angeles, Mrs. Mai Perkins. Mai is a volunteer director of a teen post at the St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles. Now, if you'd like to ask Mrs. Perkins a question on tonight's topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums, or make a comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere, collect. You may reverse the charges. Please make that call station to station. Our night call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our night call operators are on duty, our night call lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Mrs. Perkins, what is the greatest problem that Negro teenagers face?
Well, Russ, it happens to be unemployment mainly. Most of our teenagers can't find work of any kind, or else perhaps I should say they're not fitted for it because they don't have experience, and most of them have probably dropped out of school somewhere along the line, especially the boys.
Well, now, why aren't they fitted for employment, and why do Negro youngsters tend to drop out of school?
Well, the boys, mainly, are our biggest number of dropouts. And I think it's because they don't seem to feel that there's a reason for them to go to school, you know. Because if they go, then what use is it? What type of job would they be able to have? And I think most feel that the number of years that they'll have to put into education when they get out, the job that they receive afterwards may not be worth all the trouble.
Well, now,
they feel as though that they're second-class citizens.
Now, what do you mean, the job after they get their education?
Oh, there are a number of people, you know, who've had, their BAs, and, you know, their masters and et cetera. And then they end up perhaps maybe being a cook, you know, or a janitor or doing maintenance work or perhaps clerical work or anything but what they were educated for. And they see their fathers, you know, in this line of work. So they feel, well, why should I go to college if I'm not going to be any better than my old man?
Is it because of the color that the man doesn't get the job?
Yes, this is true. And especially in our race, the women mostly have been able to educate themselves and get better jobs than our men. And our men now are beginning to move upward, but it's sort of slow. And the young people don't feel as though it's fast enough, and they want to move ahead much faster than we're going. And so they feel like, what's the use in going to school?
But don't they realize that education is probably the one way out of the trap, if we can call it that, that's available to them?
When you were a teenager, did you pay much attention to what your parents said?
You've got me, Mai.
Well, I'm afraid that they don't pay much attention either, and it's only after they're grown and have lived through all of this that they realize what we as parents have been trying to tell them. And then, of course, perhaps it's too late, or if they still have ambition, they can still go back to school.
Now, that's another thing. Many white people have the idea that Negro family life is always marred by separation or divorce. Is this true, and does this play a part in why kids have a tough time in the slums?
Well, of course, according to our system and the way we've been living for quite a few years, statistics will even show that many of our Negro families have only the mother or some female in the home, and most of the time the male is not in the home. This has caused quite a problem because naturally a boy needs to identify with someone, and if the male is not in the home, how can he identify with him?
Well, then, take a Negro boy that comes from a home that's broken by divorce. Who does he identify with? He has to identify with someone.
Well, more than likely, it'll be someone out in the street. Now, he may have a teacher that he might admire, or if he's in church, you know, there may be someone there that he will admire, or it's usually outside of the home. He may have an older brother or an uncle or someone like that, hopefully. But most of the time, if they're going to identify with someone, it's outside of the home, unless he happens to be lucky enough to have both parents in the home. And then, too, you know, when they have both parents in the home, if they're ashamed of their father, they don't tend to identify with him. And I think most of us make the mistake of saying, I don't want you to be what I have been, you know.
Is this a Negro
feeling? I don't know whether Caucasians say this to their children or not, since I happen not to know that much about very close families in Caucasian. But I know in many Negro homes where the women have had to do domestic work and the men have had to do maintenance and almost anything they could do, you know, to keep the home together and to keep money coming into the home, they would say, I may be doing this, but I'm doing it for a reason, but I don't want you to do this, you see?
They want the youngster to better themselves.
Pardon?
They want the youngster to better himself.
That's right.
I think that's fairly similar to a white family's approach to the education of the youngster.
You know what it does? It makes the young person feel as though what his parents are doing for a living is sort of below them, you know?
I see.
And I feel that what we should do is not make what we're doing, not belittle it. Instead, make them realize that it is legal, you know? We're not going to be put in jail for the money that we bring home. It's not like stealing cars and this type of thing where many of our youngsters might do this and get put in jail. Whatever it is that we do, if it's honest, then we shouldn't belittle it.
Well, what do you think that adults can do to help teenagers in the slums?
They need to talk to them, listen to them, work with them, play with them, go to church with them, many things.
You know what you just told me? You said love, L-O-V-E.
That's right. That's the biggest thing. Most teenagers now act like they don't want this. You'd be surprised.
We have
teen posts, you know. And they, I often wonder why they come there. Because they get balled out sometimes. Or they'll, you know, they're given chores. Sometimes, and most of the times we don't have the things there that they would like. But yet they come. I think it's because they feel like we want them regardless. And we have many of them that are in and out of jail and are from good homes. We have quite a deuce mixture there.
Mrs. May Perkins is our guest tonight on Night Call. Our topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. May, I have a caller now from Denver, Colorado, a listener that's listening on KTLN, Mr. Rebon Blanchard. Good evening, Mr. Blanchard. You're on Night Call. Your comment, sir.
Yes. I would like to comment briefly on last night, on a caller last night, Mr. Adams. As a matter of fact, as a black man, I will have to agree with some of the things Mr. Adams said last night. Number one, Mr. Adams stated that we were different by nature. And this, I agree. This is true. We are different by nature. Number two, Mr. Adams stated that he believes in individuality, and so do I. I think where my nationality people make their mistake in life is a Negro tries to be someone else. I think that that's the main thing in life that makes a Negro a failure, is trying to be someone else. I think that if a Negro would stand up and be himself, not as a Negro, no, but just stand up and be a black man. And I think that he would find that the average individual would accept him much, much more freely. And secondly, I'd like to comment on the minister. The minister stated that he wasn't looked at as a man. Well, I can see why he isn't looked at as a man. As a matter of fact, the minister's too busy in trying to crawl back on his slave master's plantation instead of taking his lawful place, in society.
You're talking about the Reverend Cornish Rogers, our guest last night.
I think that the time has gone now for our people to conduct themselves in a certain manner. You take the average Negro, he is always talking about we must love our white brother. We must love our white brother. He has made a song out of this. Deep in his heart, I don't think that the average a black man really means this. I know the black man doesn't mean this, but the Negro knows no other way to go in achieving his lawful rights but to try to impress the Caucasian that I love you. And I think that he feels that he can impress him to the point that I love you. The white man may give him something.
Well, Mr. Blanchard,
yes.
Tonight our topic is what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums?
I understand.
Now,
I'm getting to that.
What do you think about that?
One of the things that we can do to help teenagers in the slums is what Ms. Perkins has stated here, is give them love and give them something to look forward to in the future. Number one is to teach them about themselves. I think if we would give them something to look forward to in the future, such as their history. I know many of the house boys would tell them that they haven't got any history, but I would be the first one to tell them different. They have a great history. We must just focus our attention to the cruel days of slavery in America. We are not the only people that have been enslaved. Many of the Caucasians have been enslaved too. The black people just happen to remain enslaved longer because of the many people that more or less kept us enslaved, such as the minister last night with his houseboy attitude and approach to our brother.
Well, Mr. Blanchard, I want to thank you for your opinions.
Indeed.
And thank you for calling Night Call, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Blanchard, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLM, taking, I guess, some points. He was with Mr. Adams, the other gentleman from Denver who called in last night, and at another point saying the Negro should be proud of what he is. Ms. Perkins, what do you think about that?
Well, it's easy to be proud of yourself if you're confident and you've had a good job and you have a little money in your pocket and you can take care of your family, you know. Even if you have problems that you're facing in a world where there are places perhaps you can't go or things that perhaps you can't do because of your color, most of us are lucky enough to be good-humored enough and be broad-minded enough, thank goodness, that if we are lucky enough to have a job, as I've mentioned before, and are able to take care of our families, yes, we can be proud of ourselves.
Our guest tonight, Mrs. May Perkins. Our topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday, I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Mrs. Mae Perkins. She's a volunteer worker out in Los Angeles at a teen post. And teen posts are sort of like teenage clubs or areas where teenagers are taken off the street and given something constructive to do. If you'd like to express your opinion on what adults can do to help teenagers in the slums, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. And remember, please dial us direct. And if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. And we invite you to join us on Night Call. Mrs. Perkins, we have a caller standing by in Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Harry Kleinman. Good evening, Mr. Kleinman. You're on Night Call, sir.
Mr. Kleinman, can I ask you to either speak up or maybe you're going to have to replace the call? We're having great difficulty in hearing you.
All right, I'll speak up louder. Can you hear me now?
No, I think it's a very poor connection. Could I ask that you replace that call?
Will I be able to get on?
Yes, I think there's, yes. Just dial us on.
Can you hear me now?
No, I'm sorry. It's a poor connection. Just call us back, please.
Mrs. Perkins, what can adults actually do to help teenagers? Now, you told me that they can give them love, but give me some actual examples.
In our teen folks, we're having a terrible time getting men involved. We have more boys than we have girls involved. Now, some of our boys want to work on some old cars. Now, if a man would come over that has just a little bit of knowledge, he doesn't have to know everything, but if he can just stay one little step ahead of the boys, you know. We have an old car that's been given to us. If he can work with them and take it apart, you know, show them the parts, maybe, who knows, they can get it working. We have some kids that said that they would like to learn to cook. Seven boys say they'd like to learn how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
We have girls who would like to learn how to sew and knit. Now, we aren't having too much problem with the girls, but with the boys, we do.
Well, now, why would boys be more of a problem than the girls? Why do you think?
Well, because they need a man really to control them. They love us, you know, and, they, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, this type of thing. But when we're trying to have a meeting, they're sort of unruly, and we can yell at them and all, and they'll keep quiet for a while, and then they're back again, especially as they get used to us. But a man, well, it's something about him. We had one man in with us the other night, and he got that group in control right away. He's only going to be with us a few days, and unfortunately, he needs a job, so he's starting the post office Monday, and we're about to have a sit. So we're frantically looking for another man.
Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mr. Kleinman is back on the telephone. Mm-hmm. The gentleman from Baltimore listening on WBAL. Hello, Harry?
Mr. Gibb,
yeah, this sounds a little better. Your comment, please.
All right, I would like to make some comments regarding the race of the show. First of all, I'm 23 years old, and in 1962, being Jewish, I wrote an article about the letter to the editor of the Jewish Times,
Well, I would prefer you would tell me. We have sort of a little policy here on Night Call that we don't want people to read to us. You tell us in your own words.
All right.
And could you speak up, Harry? That connection is fading again on us.
All right. First of all, I feel that the Negroes are good enough to fight and defend this country. They should be allowed to
Well, you're fading, but keep trying, boy.
All right. I feel that Negroes are able to participate in sports. They should be able to participate in
Harry, we're losing you again on the connection. I'm going to ask that we terminate because it's just not broadcast quality. And I think basically what you were saying is that the Negro should have all the rights that a white man has. I'm sorry we couldn't complete that call. It was Mr. Harry Kleiman from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL. May, did you get part of the comments that Harry had?
Not really. I couldn't hear it.
Basically, he was saying that Negroes, if they have to die for America, should have every right that every other American enjoys. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, this is true. I agree with that. I don't know how it's going to come about. And since I am not qualified, I'm afraid, to speak on this, and am not one of the pioneers working in that field because I don't really know what is needed. So therefore, I work with where I feel that I'm better able to help, and that's with teenagers. And it's very little, but still it's something.
May, we have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado now, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Doris Valentine. Good evening, Mrs. Valentine. Speak right up, ma'am. You're on night call.
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Your comment, please.
Well, I think the government should do something about it. To take the boys and find homes for the girls and boys where they need homes and investigate the family, the parents.
Miss Burke?
This starts from the beginning of young children that have parents that just won't take care of them properly. And a lot of them, they just don't seem to care if they're in school or not or what kind of grades they bring home. And I do know of one or two families, a young couple, where they cursed their children when they were only 2 and 4 years old. And I believe that parents would show more love from them when they're young and show more interest in their welfare, that we would have a lot better children today. And I think the parents have a lot to do with this. And if the government would investigate the homes more and find out what's causing the trouble, and if they shouldn't be in this home, then they should place them in a home that will be proper for them.
May, what do you think about that?
Now, you know, in our area, we have quite a number of families that are on aid, you know. They are aided by the state. And this means more than likely that the man is out of the home. Now, I think in this instance, the government is doing quite a bit when they are at least providing the home with money enough to at least feed and clothe the family and put a roof over its head. It's pretty hard to investigate families like this and then place all of these children in better homes when the orphanages can't even place children out to be adopted or sometimes can't even find foster homes for children who are left in founding homes. This probably would be very good, but then most of these mothers love these children. And I heard her say that when the children come home from school, they're not interested in their grades and all. Some of these parents of these children, and I don't know if these are the ones she's talking about, perhaps have not gone past the 8th grade or whatever themselves, and wouldn't know if the child is doing good, bad, or indifferent. They're only happy that the child's in school. If both parents are working, or if only the one parent's in the home and she's working, she may not even know that the child is out of school if the school doesn't contact her.
In other words, if the youngster is skipping.
That's right. We've had that happen quite a number of times where the child has actually been suspended and been out of school for some time before the parent even knows about it. And by that time, sometimes it's too late.
Mrs. Valentine, would you care to comment on what Mrs. Perkins said?
Well, it's too bad that it happens like this. Parents don't know what the children are doing, but I know this can happen.
Do you think this is solely a Negro problem, or can this happen with white parents?
Oh, no, this is happening with white children, too. I don't think it's fair that they blame just the colored people, because I don't think this is right.
Have you noticed that many people will say, criticize the Negro, or the Negro society, for so many Negroes getting aid from the government? Mrs. Perkins, have you ever heard people criticize this point?
Oh, yes. They seem to feel that it's mainly Negroes who are on aid, when in reality, one of the main reasons is that they are the last ones hired and the first ones fired. So as a rule, they end up on aid. There's no other place to go.
But getting back to the teenagers, if a Negro teenager understood this, would he not try and get more education?
Well, even the very educated, a Negro can be the last hired and the first fired. And unfortunately, this doesn't give the teenager much to go on. As you know, I said, girls seemingly fare better in job-wise. Because there's a great feel for clerical work, you know, and most in the line that girls would go into. But for boys, especially if they're aiming high, they'd have a tough time getting there. And then if their own father has been fired quite often, never had a decent job, well, then they don't feel the need to urge, I mean, the urge to move ahead, you know, and try.
Mrs. Valentine, I want to thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling Night Call. Mrs. Doris Valentine, a lady from Denver, Colorado, was listening on KTL and KTLN. She believes that federal government should help families that are in dire needs of economic help, anyway. Our guest tonight, Mrs. May Perkins. Our telephone number here at Night Call, area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Perkins, we have a caller standing by in Indianapolis, Indiana. Indiana, I'm having difficulty talking here. A listener on WFBM, Mrs. Mary Holman. Good evening, Mary. Speak right up, ma'am. You're on Night Call.
Yes, I think I am right. Wasn't Mr. Blanchard the name of the man who called first?
Yes.
Well, I think he has somehow found the secret of the solution, if I understood him right. Now then, the dropout in this area of there are as many Caucasians as there are. Well, I taught my children never to say nigger. Now Negro is supposedly not right. So let's say between the Caucasian and the black race. And I know of white boys whose first job they got at a very early age, and because they needed the money, they were asked, could they clean toilets in filling stations? And if they said yes, on account if I do it at home, I'll do it here. Now then, those were white boys I'm talking about. Now then, I think that we are trying to bring about something that we haven't had. I know there needs to be changes, but is it all the Caucasian fault?
Well, there's a good question.
So.
There's an interesting question. Mrs. Perkins, what do you feel about that? Do you feel that...
I'm afraid I didn't hear all of it. I was straining very hard. I heard her say, is it all the Caucasian's fault, but I don't know what...
Well, that it's the Caucasian's fault that, or at least the Negro feels, that all his problems can be taken and the blame put on the white man.
Well, they have the jobs, and they usually offer them, and they usually will accept those that they feel should be employed, and if they seek to choose white all the time, well then, there we are.
Mary, I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Miss Mary Holman from Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM. Our guest tonight is Mrs. May Perkins. Our topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself?
sometimes out on that limb. Without him, it's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
What can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? Our guest tonight is Mrs. May Perkins. She's a volunteer worker out in Los Angeles at a teen post. And Mrs. Perkins, we have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado now, a listener on KTLN, a Mr. Roosevelt Miller. Good evening, Roosevelt. You're on Night Call, sir.
Good evening. I would like to ask her a question.
Yes, sir.
What jobs would she think that Negroes are more successful in qualifying for?
Miss Perkins?
What jobs are Negroes more successful in qualifying for?
Yes.
Oh, they can always qualify for maintenance and your cooking and chef, this type of thing. They are gradually beginning to move up into, we have quite a few teachers. If they'll go on through school. But they are beginning to move into other fields, but it's rather slow. They almost have to have someone who sort of, I know him. You know, for instance, Rush, suppose you knew me well enough and you say, well, you know, I know May, and therefore I'm sure she can do the job, and perhaps if your employer thinks enough of you, he might try me out, you know?
In other words, they don't have wires in
no.
to jobs.
No.
Connections.
No, and most of the time when you see any of us in a good paying position, it's because someone helped them get there. Thank goodness.
Roosevelt?
Also, I'd like to say about this business of going to college. Don't you think that sometimes that the parents push their children to go to college, and often certain Negroes aren't really qualified to go? And instead of them going to college, maybe they would do better in going to some type of trade school or another specialized school. Or do you feel that a male should get a degree?
Should a man get a degree?
Right.
In order to make himself better qualified.
I know what he means. There are, we have been trying to push our kids to go to school so much that there are times that we especially push our boys into college when they really don't have the aptitude for it. And we are trying now to stress more trade school courses for girls as well as boys, you know, to show that we don't feel that you have to be academically inclined all the time, even though that may mean you might have a better job, or maybe one that we would get more prestige out of if our child would go, you know, and get a better job.
Roosevelt, are you in college?
Yes, I'm a freshman at Metropolitan State College.
And what are you taking up?
Well, I'm majoring in business. I was interested in music, but I decided I'd concentrate on business.
Well, I want to thank you for calling Night Call, Mr. Roosevelt Miller, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN. College student. Now let's go out to Billings, Montana, a listener on KGHL, Mr. Oris Doty. Good evening, Oris. You're on Night Call, sir. Your comment.
Well, I was listening to this, and I've forgotten the lady's name.
Mrs. May Perkins.
Yes. She was commenting that she had some boys there that were very interested in cooking.
Right.
There are facilities available that can provide training for these boys.
I know that.
I'm employed in the Youth Opportunity Center here in Billings. And this is, I believe, your best opportunity for working with the specific children that you are mentioning would be through the Youth Opportunity Center.
Is that a federal government project?
Yes, it is.
Yes, and we don't have those out here yet.
You don't have it?
No, you know, we're far behind in our poverty program. It's one of our biggest problems out here. The money is allocated, but I don't know where it is.
Well, now your state employment services can, those that have not set up as yet youth opportunity centers, will provide the same information and the same facilities that are being provided at the youth opportunity centers. Now, I'm speaking here on this for Cook's training. This mm-hmm. is under this MDTA, this Manpower Development and Training Act, which provides income. It isn't a great amount, but it is an income for people who are in training for specific jobs, specific occupations. These boys that you mentioned that are interested in cooking, the aptitude testing that's available through the state employment services can easily determine whether these boys have the ability plus the desire to become cooks. And if they do, then there's nothing at all to prevent them from going into training for this.
Of course, I think Mrs. Perkins was saying, Oris, that they just didn't get involved in the poverty program in Los Angeles until, as I understand it, after the riots.
Well, this has been established long before the poverty program came into existence.
Your state employment service.
Yes, state employment services and this MDTA training.
Well, Mrs. Perkins.
Well, this training is a new thing out here in Los Angeles too. Also, it's mostly for adults, and we don't have anything too much for the teenagers as yet. Of course, now, these kids that we have enrolled in our teen post are volunteers. Just come in, you know, and they'll take whatever we have to give them, and then they have given us suggestions as what they would like. What they really are doing is sort of experimenting with us before they would decide to branch out. And since a lot of these are dropouts and sort of almost against school, and we're trying to keep them there any way we know how,
this is
different than school, you know.
This is really a big problem. We don't have a true slum area in the city of Billings here that you do have in the larger cities. We do have an area which almost every city or town has, where your lower income people live. And the children that we get from there are typical of teenagers throughout the country. The term used is the disadvantaged youth. And the big problem that we have found so far around here is that the parents are so thoroughly concerned with creating enough of an income for the children that they lose the children in the process. They forget why they're working, why they're trying to provide this income, and the first word that you used there, you used one of the most important, this love, and the one right along with it, interest.
Mm-hmm.
A real, true, thorough interest in what the children are doing and what they themselves would like to become, what they would like to do. This is where so many of us as parents miss. We have dreams of our own which we haven't been able to fulfill, and we would like to pass them on to the children.
Rather interesting observation, and I want to thank you, Mr. Oris Doty from Billings, Montana, for calling Night Call.
Well, I wish to thank the station and all, too, for bringing this sort of a thing to the air. I think it's very important.
You're very kind.
And thank you very much.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
Gentlemen listening on KGHL out in Billings, Montana. Mr. Perkins, let's go now to Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM, Mr. Mitt Kaplan. Good evening, Mitt. You're on Night Call, sir.
Good evening, Russ. How are you tonight?
Fine. Your comments, sir.
That's good. First of all, in keeping with what the gentleman just said from Montana, I'd like to say that I appreciate your program. I think it's a fine springboard for discussion and food for thought, possibly for every person that listens.
Thank you, Mr. Kaplan.
And I think there should be more of it. First of all, I think most of the people, in my opinion at least, have strayed from the subject for the evening. The subject being, what should people do, adults and teachers and parents, for the slums, Negro and white.
Particularly the teenager.
Right. And my opinion on that is this. I think that most important that a goal should be set either for the group or the individual. Give them something to strive for. Make them part of something. Make them respond. responsible, if not to themselves or their parents, to someone that perhaps they might admire or someone whose opinion they respect. I think anybody will work hard toward a sincere compliment, and they'll respond to this sort of thing. And as far as the, now I'm specifically saying not just Negroes. Frankly, I think this will work with any child or even an adult, for that matter. Nobody in 100 years could convince me that any man is a second-class citizen in this country, and I've had many of these discussions, and some of them have been loud and clear. In any event, I think that the important thing is to give them something to work toward. I know Ms. Perkins mentioned specifically about the whites having the job, and possibly that's true. And it's very unfortunate, but naturally this all hinges on education and how much a person is willing to work for something and strive for something. And if this is instilled in them in the teenage level or even younger, then it'll go a long way to helping the situation or any situation like this.
Well, Mitt, I want to tell you something about Mrs. Perkins that she may not say. She is a volunteer worker, and she is the type of person that the kids out in the Los Angeles area at her team post do look up to.
Right.
The only thing that I wish that we could get at here is the fact that some adults, as she was telling me, are actually afraid to work with teenagers. Have you found this to be true, Mitt?
Well, I can understand it because I'm in the ready-to-wear business, and I have a small shop in a small town, and a large majority of our patrons are teenagers. I would say at least 50% or more.
Do they frighten you?
No, they don't, because I'm not too far removed from that myself, plus the fact that I think I understand, or at least I try to. I can tell you this, that an uncontrolled crowd, whether they be adults, teenagers, Negroes, white, or anything, is a rather frightening thing.
Mrs. Perkins?
Yes?
Do the teenagers frighten you yet?
No, and I've even gotten right in the middle of a group that was in a fight and kept pulling them apart, because I didn't even think about it.
Well, what's your secret?
I have children of my own. They're teenagers. And I'm afraid that whatever I do to them, I'm afraid I sort of do it to the others, you know. And they accept me. And I have a sort of a nickname around there. It started in the summertime. My last name is Perkins. The first name is Mace, so they automatically call me Ma Perkins.
Ma Perkins.
They shorten that to Ma, so there I am. And so I don't know. I just treat them the same way I do my own.
Well, Russ, don't get me wrong. I wasn't saying that people should be afraid of him, or that I was, or that anybody I know is. It's just that when there is a crowd, I don't want to intimate that I mean a gang now. I mean just a crowd. They sometimes can get a little out of line. And I've seen where they have, not here in my store, but other places. But I'll tell you the truth. I remember being part of that crowd not too long ago.
Well, Mitt,
teenagers, I think, are smarter today than they ever were before.
Mitt, you're saying that people should help, that adults have a responsibility to teenagers.
Right, not only the parents of the teenagers, but everybody, because these people are going to be the people who will govern us and rule us and make our laws and enforce our laws in the future. And incidentally, I'd like to make it clear, Russ, that I wasn't giving this advice to Ms. Perkins. I'm sure she's well aware of it. Frankly, I was doing this for the benefit of the open minds who may be listening to your network.
Well, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
My pleasure. I'm sorry I don't have an hour to discuss it.
We are too. Good night, Mr. Mitt Kaplan, a gentleman from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WFPM.
Our guest tonight is Mrs. May Perkins. Our topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where do you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Mrs. May Perkins. She's a volunteer worker at a teen post in Los Angeles. Our topic, what can adults do to help teenagers in the slums? And if you'd like to join us here on Night Call and express your opinion or ask a question of Mrs. Perkins, give us a call at Night Call. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Now, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may reverse the charges. You may make that telephone call collect. Our number, area code 313-846-6601. Mrs. Perkins, do you think that a teen post can do anything to bring the Negro teenagers together with the white teenagers?
Oh, sure. You can get them out of the area once in a while, as we did this past summer. We took a five-day trip. Took 67 teenagers, 11 chaperones, through Arizona, the Grand Canyon, into Las Vegas. And we had a grand time. They got a chance to mix with others. Some of them for the first time ordered from a menu, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to, and we took them to Catalina. So they were so impressed that most of them are still talking about it.
Well, now, were there any white kids on this trip?
Not on the trip, no. But they mixed with them while we were out, you know. We got off, the bus was our home away from home, and we stayed in motels. And as we did this, the kids got a chance to mingle with others.
Do you think that the Negro teenager that's brought up in the slums, in a sense, is actually cut off from the rest of society?
Yes. This particular trip showed this, because most of the kids, when they ordered iced tea, I'll never forget this, 67 spoons stirring, 67 glasses. You should have heard that then. So you see, they're cut off. They don't even know just a little simple thing like how to stir the sugar in a glass, you know, of iced tea.
This is how far they've been removed from our society.
Yes.
Mrs. Perkins, I have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado now, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Selma Darling. Good evening, Mrs. Darling. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
All right. Good evening.
Your comment, please.
All right. Just a minute. Could turn my transistor off.
Okay. Lady turning her transistor radio.
All right.
There she is.
I'm a former Detroiter.
Mm-hmm.
But came from farther up in Michigan. My husband grew up in Highland Park.
Know it well.
You know. And I want to say I went through school with Negroes from first grade on. My husband did the same thing in Highland Park. Our sons went to school with Malcolm X in a small town in Michigan near Lansing. And then we moved to Dallas, Texas, and it was like moving from here to Africa.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the situation was so different. I don't know. The Negroes up there were treated just like anybody else. They had the same rights, voting privileges, and were highly respected. And down there, like the lady says, I don't think they could get jobs even when they were educated.
This was in what state?
In Dallas, Texas.
In Texas.
And I think that Malcolm X, his mother had influenced him, because I read his articles afterward, and he was chosen president of his class among all the whites. And there was a white family in that town with five children, and they played with the doctor's children and well, the best families in town.
So you're saying, in effect, that segregation does not take place throughout the United States?
I can hardly hear you.
I'm suggesting that segregation does not take place throughout the United States, that only in certain communities. Is
oh, absolutely. I think Denver is very liberal.
Mrs. Perkins, would you care to comment?
I don't know a thing about Denver, so I can't comment there. But here, there are areas that would like for Negroes not to move in there. And, of course, this is the reason that Proposition 14 was lost. and where you're not, you know, where we were voted down as not being able to live wherever you want to, and perhaps in a white area if that's where you choose to live.
And so this voting down of Proposition 14 in Los Angeles actually created more of the ghetto-type life. Is that what you're saying?
And it also created more frustrations and causing people to feel that there's no way out. And, of course, they are battling this and hoping that they can get it back on the ballot and vote it back in.
Mrs. Darling?
Yes?
Do you think that adults have a responsibility to help teenagers?
Well, I certainly do, but I think it's the parents because, someone else said before, whites have been slaves too. The Portuguese and many, even Scotch people, were slaves to the early Vikings. And what about these people that come from Holland and the Scandinavian countries and people here advertise for them as maids? And they bring up pretty decent children.
What are you saying?
They bring up pretty decent children, but if they teach their children that they don't want them to do this type of work, if I'm a maid, I don't want my children to ever do this type of work, and maybe my daughter, that's all that she will ever be. I think this is rather frustrating. And then, too,
I think parents should stay home. I don't think they should work out and then make the public pay for. We were poor when we were married and we were very young, and I could have gone out to work because I had that kind of an education, but I stayed home and brought my children up. One is in the Air Force in Athens, Greece. One is in Huntsville, Alabama, and making these bombs. And the third is a silversmith in New York. And we had tough times. I know about that because I've had tough times too. But
and
what I'd like to mention,
though, the poor whites down in Texas were really worse off than the blacks.
Well, I can't answer to that. But I can say this, that with the higher cost of living here in Los Angeles, a Negro man will have to hold down two jobs to take care of a family, or else the wife would have to go out to work. And in many instances, the husband is holding down two jobs, and the children never see him. So if we have a family that's staying together, you might say technically they're not together because the man is at work all the time, and the child never sees his father.
Mrs. Darling, we have other callers waiting, and I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, I thank you.
Thank you for your opinion.
Yeah.
Mrs. Selma Darling, lady from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN. And now let's go out to Syracuse, New York, a listener on WFBM. Mr. Mike Hatella. Good evening, Mike. You're on Night Call, sir.
I'd like to voice my comment on this idea of helping teenagers in the slum neighborhoods. I'm a director in Food Safe for Opportunity here in Syracuse, and I think we've done quite a job here. Not that we want to take some balls from anybody, but we have a skill center here in the city where we pick up kids that are dropouts from school and send them into this, recommend them for the school and give them a small pay while they're learning. And when they finish their course of work, well, then they're sure of getting a job. And it's one way that if they want to drop out of school, take care of these school dropouts.
Is this a biracial activity in Syracuse?
Right. This program, I think we had the best offering in the whole United States. I think we were the first ones to get the largest award anywhere in the country, in the city of Syracuse.
So you're saying, in effect, Mike, that a community should have services to help youngsters?
That's right. We even have neighborhood council now. We've had two strategic areas in the city of Syracuse, the east side and the west side. And we have people right from the actual neighborhood participating in these groups and setting down a program, definitely a program to help teenagers whether they're colored or white, doesn't make any difference. See what opportunities we can provide. We have even provided study centers now for the kids. If they're back in their studies in school, they can go to these study centers after school and get free help with their studies, and they kind of get a boost and help along in their schoolwork.
Ms. Perkins, do you have anything similar out in Los Angeles?
Yes. We have the Neighborhood Youth Corps in and out of school, and they're limited, you know. We only have so many youngsters involved in each program, which does put a strain on the child who can't qualify, whose parents perhaps are making more than $4,000 a year, and that's gross. And that child can't get a job, whether it's Neighborhood Youth Corps, in or out of school, or even just a regular job, because they're all tied up, and so he's sort of lost. In our teen post, we have study centers, also, and tutoring, and different things that we have built up in our particular one. We are limited in our poverty funds. We're on a month-to-month schedule with only a few salaries and no program money, and this is what we're existing on with volunteer help right now. So all of these things he's talking about, I think, are poverty funded, and we don't have this for all the different things we'd like to do yet.
Mike, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
I wanted to compliment you also on your program. It's a wonderful program. Keep up the good work.
You're very kind. Thank you, sir. Mr. Mike Hatella, a gentleman from Syracuse, New York. And I think we have about a minute and a half remaining. And let's see if we can squeeze in a call from Mr. Gary Arnold out in Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLM. Good evening, Mr. Arnold. You're on Night Call, sir.
Thank you, Russ. Good evening. I can barely hear you from this end. I'd like to just say very briefly that in looking at the young adult and the teenage mindset in the metropolitan areas today, it occurs to me, and I'm sure it does to many other people, that what these people are searching for, perhaps even more than economic security, is meaning. Sigmund Freud propounded the theory that we function on a pleasure principle. I think it was Albert Adler that propounded the theory that we function on a power drive principle, and of recent years, Viktor Frankl has said that we function on a meaning drive principle in our constant search for meaning. And I think that the church, the Protestant church especially, has let our young people down in many ways by being phony in its attitude toward morality, toward theology, and toward the basic...
Mr. Arnold, I'm going to have to clip you there. We're all out of time on Night Call. I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you, Russ.
Good night. Mr. Gary Arnold from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLM. And Mrs. May Perkins, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call tonight.
All right, thank you for having me.
Tomorrow night, our guest on Night Call is Miss Sue Welsh. She's a teen post director in the Watts Tower Art Center. Our topic, can the Watts teenagers really improve themselves? Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.